Tony Tornado DDS.
Blog Talk Radio.
I completely removed your teeth right. with my fist.
All right, we're live. We're live. All right. Fighting Phils didn't go their way, but you know, that was an improbable comeback. One of the craziest comebacks I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, I get mad because people are like, well, it was a good year. You know what? It was a fun year. I said, you know what? A roller coaster is fun, too. Guess what happens if it derails? It's not fun. You had a great time going up and down and all that shit, but guess what happens? If it derails, what's the one thing you're going to remember? The derail.
Yeah.
Not the fun you had going up and down in the loop-de-loop. So,
I tell you.
There's always next year. How many next years we got left?
I tell you, like,
I got a friend of mine's in the hospital right now, unexpectedly, you know, so.
Everybody was on the Phillies to close it out, but the unfortunate thing was the Texas Rangers, they gave the blueprint of how to do it, how to win those two games away, and then, boom, you know, history repeated itself on the other side. I could not believe it, but I really think what was undersold was that fucking Fott. Jesus Christ. He had so many strikeouts. I think he beat every other big-name pitcher for strikeouts per game against the Phillies. And then they give the fucking dude from, like, who only got a double in the winning game. Like, they give him the MVP, and I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I already turned it off by that point.
Ugh. Man, at least give the guy who earned it the fucking win. And, you know, I didn't even realize, like, there's no difference between the American League and the National League anymore with this pitchers not hitting in the National League. Like,
yeah, they stopped at the year of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Like, what is the point? But anyway, Texas and Texas versus...
Arizona
Diamondbacks. Texas is a heavy favorite. They're already offering me a $45 cash out on a bet that could win 40. The series hasn't even started. I mean, the bet that could win 80. Unfortunately, I cashed out my Arizona bet before the series. I had it on good odds. I don't even want to go check what I did. But I only lost like 50 cents by cashing out. On the bet itself is a $20 bet, but man, how much I did not expect it. But, you know, it's chaos. It's chaos. Anytime you have trouble figuring out who to bet on and how to pick the winners, and you just got to remember, you're betting on chaos. You know, you have to account for everything.
Whenever you want to figure out who to bet on, figure out who I'm rooting for and bet the opposite.
Oh, Jesus. You know, the home runs are very hard to predict, too. Schwarber, I think, would have been the MVP if they had won, because he was hitting them off everybody. But Harper, I think he busted his elbow on that one play, and he was never a power hitter after that. He could hit a double here or there, but he just stopped hitting the home runs. And then Castellanos, Jesus Christ. By the end of the series, the fucking betting dude on TV was saying bet for him not to get a hit.
Yeah. He hit a home run in the first game, and then he went 0 for whatever the rest of it was.
Yeah, he just couldn't find it. They were seeing the ball so well, too, before that.
I had myself on the treadmill last week, or earlier this week, because the thing malfunctioned in mid-run.
Yeah, I wasn't even a baseball fan this year until I started watching and betting on the Phillies and winning money. And that really, oh man, it was just like, what the hell? Like, what are the odds? And it's, you know, it is what it is. Shit happens.
Yeah.
It was a bad one.
You know what? I was more annoyed Friday night when they blew that 5-2 lead, and I got, you know, just fired up, mad. Going into Saturday, I was so wound up that I almost knew it was over when they were 2-2. It was just like last year in the World Series. They won the one game. They hit like 5 home runs. They were up 2-1 in the series, and the next night they got no hit. And I was like, it's over. They lost. And someone's like, it's 2-2 in the series. I said, we'll win it in 6. I'm like, another one. Nope. I had the gut feeling.
Yeah.
The other night when they lost that game, I'm like, I have a gut feeling they're not going to win. Someone's like, dude, it's basically a 3-game series. Two of them are at home. I said, I don't have a good feeling. And they won the next game, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just try to be optimistic. And I tried to watch it. Soon team at 2 home runs. I'm like, it's over.
Yeah.
Okay, but if they go to game seven, I said, that night of game seven, I did a workout that morning. Then the treadmill malfunctioned while I was on it. It made my ankle even worse. That night, I was like, I have to kill time. I got 4 hours after I log off work. I said, let me do a 20-plus round boxing workout and just try to get all this negativity out of me. I did 20-plus rounds. And I still felt like I was going to the execution table.
Yeah, it was a rough one. It reminds me of watching Brett Boone there walk off the Red Sox in the playoffs years ago. It sucks, you know. You got to take the good with the bad. You know, you had a recent World Series win. And guess what? The fucking Flyers are playing excellent hockey right now. Maybe not tonight.
The World Series win 15 years ago.
Yeah.
About that reason.
But there will be times where they'll be back, I'm sure. I mean, they have a great team. It's just they just couldn't hit those certain dudes and couldn't close it out. But, man, I was looking for that 10-run game in Game 7. Did not come from the Phillies. They won me a little bit of money on some non-pick parlays. Like, there's some parlays that you can do on, like, home runs and hits alone, and you don't even have to pick the winner. So I've been trying to steer my way to those and experiment with different ones. And live bets on foreign hockey and soccer have actually made me more money than the rest of the traditional shit. But I was saying to the Arizona Cardinals what Rocky's wife said to him in Rocky IV the other night, and Rocky's wife was right. You can't win. But they won. So anyway, we have Rocky IV fight this week for Francis Ngannou. It's going up against Tyson Fury. And he actually, I saw this today for the first time. He actually believes that Ngannou is a more dangerous opponent than Usyk, which is interesting. Maybe that's just because of the Tyson factor. I don't know. But maybe he's just worried about the power and the size. Like, Ngannou is like a tall dude for an MMA fighter. But that's coming up this weekend. There's a pretty stocked undercard. British heavyweights, Fabio Wardley, there's our Fabio fight of the week, and David Adele are gearing up for a fight on the undercard. And, of course, it's going to be in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, right after we had the Abu Dhabi disaster, which Tom and I will have to get into in depth. Tom, the UFC needs a new doctor. Would you like to?
don't get me started.
Yeah.
Where are you at? I'm in the desert.
Yes, yes.
But remember, we have a language barrier.
That fight cost me some money. We'll get into that later. But, there's the Fury fight. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on last weekend for boxing, but we had the UFC going on. Let's see. We got the Fury fight schedule coming up. Let's see what else is on that undercard.
You know, speaking of the Fury fight, were you both aware that the odds is minus 1,400. And Ngannou is priced at plus 750.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we have to work for fire on Ngannou.
So maybe Tyson Fury's concern about Ngannou's power is a little bit of marketing here.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
No, they are selling it hard. on ESPN.
We know what he can do, but Tyson Fury has been boxing since he was, what, 5 or 6? And those little things. Now, he says he's going to stand in front of him, and the crazy guy might do it, but like he did with Wilder. You know, Fury was admitted. Nagamo could sure knock him out. Anyone could knock him out. But it's my job to make sure that doesn't land. There are so many little tricks, little things, little stuff. Nagamo just doesn't know.
Just
go back a while.
This is going to be his first fight off of knee surgery, too. You know, like, it's all about boxing at that level. And if you can't even get in front of him or get a shot into his chin, I mean, good are you? Like, you know, he's going to use his boxing footwork and move all around that freaking ring. Who, where is knee out leg kicking him?
That's going to be the key.
My mom lived this week when I called him a dancing gorilla. Like, you got King Kong and Godzilla here and they're dancing like gazelles. And I'm like, yeah. And the more I watched Fury, I don't appreciate him. So like, at first, when you're looking at two guys, like, when the small guy is 6'7 and like 240 something, and the big guy is like 6'7, like 270 something, you're expecting like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And you're watching these big guys moving around like gazelles. And I was like, this is terrible. This is not entertaining. And then Fury won. Then he retired. Then he came back. And I was not a Fury father fight. I was working a party. And
could make a movie out of that.
I was working a dinner and I was working a party. So I didn't Rocky get home until the 6th round. And I just literally knew it was following online. And I'm like, Fury's up maybe 5 rounds to nothing. I'm like, really? And they're like, and Fury's down. I'm like, that sounds about right. And they're like, and Fury's back up. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm probably like, another round for Fury, another round for Fury, another round for Fury.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the 12th round, and the consensus was really 10 to 1 by that time.
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh, my God, whoa, massive right hand, and Fury comes flat on his back. This fight looks to be over, and I'm like, sounds about right. Just took a little longer than I expected.
Well, probably
he's getting up. I'm like, no shit. They're like, he's up, and he's bringing the two Wilder. I'm like, really? Damn. And then it was like, fight was over, and then it's a draw. So then they had the rematch a couple years later, and he's like, I'm walking him down. I'm going right to him. And it's like, that's like running towards the machine gun. You know? And he was, he did the right tactic. But Fury, you see, Fury does not have. You'll never confuse him with George Chabot.
Right.
For his chin. So he's got a. When he loses focus, I saw him get knocked down by a light punching cruiserweight in Steve Cunningham.
Well, I'll never forget that one. But
yeah,
I was cheering for Steve all the way.
Wow. Right hand, you know? And Cunningham was only 200 pounds in that fight, and he was not a big puncher cruiserweight. And he put Fury flat on his back. I saw Fury get knocked down by Wilder twice in the first fight and twice in the third fight. And I saw him also get rocked pretty good in that 12th round by Otto Wallin. So
the guy's
definitely got, you know, a hole in his armor. But the advantage of his vision reminds me of a quarterback that can see the whole field and say, you know what, this guy might not be open right now, but he will be open if I throw the ball 20 yards instead of 18 yards.
Now, what about the psychological factor of Mike Tyson, the guy that Tyson Fury is named after?
Yeah.
Being the advisor in the other corner.
I know. Pretty ironic, ain't it?
I know for a fact that he's been out of shape about that.
Did you guys see the press conference? When John Fury was a maniac, he was calling out Tyson. Mike says, yeah, well, we'll have to fight, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's been a thing. That's been an ongoing thing. They're trying to promote that fight before it even gets signed. But I'm pretty sure Tyson is completely done with boxing because, you know, he's been screwed so many times, obviously mostly by Don King, who took real advantage of him while he had him under contract. And, you know, the story goes on and on. But it's just one of those things where, you know, he didn't get paid even. He's still waiting for the money for that Roy Jones fight. You know, he signed someone on the dotted line and they screwed him again. So he's definitely not running to sign any more boxing contracts. It's not worth it to him. Even if that one was kind of staged, you know, which I kind of get the impression it really was. They weren't trying to knock each other out, let's put it that way. It's not worth it to him. He'd rather just do his podcasts and stuff. And sell his weed because he's got a big marijuana farm out there in California, I think, now. Jesus. But who knows? I just don't see it happening. But, yeah, John Fury's going to try to make it just to be in the news. And you got all those Fury connections to the organized crime guy, so you know that's not going to happen because Tyson's probably still on parole for something. No, it is history. No, I doubt it. But anyway, so this weekend we also have, actually tomorrow night, we have Amanda Serrano, former guest of ours. She's fighting on DAZN, 45-2 with one draw, fighting Danila Ramos, who's 12-2. Bunch of titles on the line. IBF, IBO, WBA, WBO, female world featherweight titles. And then we've got Hernan Marquez on the undercard, 47-10 with two draws at bantamweight, fighting Antonio Vargas, 16-1. Then we got a guy named Karen in fighting in Germany. Karen Chukadzian. 22-2, Karen Chukadzian, fighting Pietro Rossetti, 18-1 for the IBF Intercontinental Welterweight title. Let's see. Saturday. Oshiki Foster, 20-2, fighting in Cancun, Mexico on his own, fighting Eduardo Hernandez, 34-1. Super featherweight for the WBC World Super Featherweight title. On the undercard, we got Oscar Escandone, 27-6, fighting Eduardo Nunes, 24-1 at super featherweight. They didn't even put the freaking Fury fight on here. The hell's their problem? Is it not licensed? They didn't even put it on the schedule. Is it a 2-star fight? Is it a 1-star fight, I wonder? We'll see. Submit. It's a 1-star fight. That's Friday. Oh, we got a 1-star fight going on. Betcha there's a Jesus fight. But yeah, it's going to be in Saudi Arabia. We know that. A lot of money coming from Saudi Arabia, getting thrown at sports right now. And, makes you wonder, what are they getting for their money, especially after that last UFC fight, which we'll get into a little bit. But yeah, I don't see Tyson Fury on BoxRec. BoxRec is boycotting this fight. I guess. All right. So results from last weekend, we had Jack Catterall winning by unanimous decision over Jorge Linares in Liverpool. As for the WBA Intercontinental Super Lightweight title. And then there's an RTD for Reese Bellotti. won the fight. Commonwealth Boxing Council super featherweight title. He improves to 17-5, giving Aqib Tiaz first loss, 12-1. And Cizo had to go. Peter McGrails went to 8-0. Fran Mendoza had to go. 17-1 now. So that was a super bantamweight fight. Liverpool. And then we had a knockout for the NABO, WBO NABO welterweight title in Inglewood, California. Alexis Roca falls to 23-2. Got knocked out by Giovanni Santillan, improves to 32-0. That welterweight did it in the sixth round there. And Ricardo Rafael Sandoval got a unanimous decision win over Victor Efrain Sandoval. A brotherly love fight, I guess. I don't know. Sandoval versus Sandoval. Flyweight. Efrain Sandoval, 37-3, goes to 37-4 now. It was a 10-rounder. Ricardo Rafael Sandoval improves to 23-2. And gets the bragging rights at Thanksgiving dinner, apparently. Sandoval on Sandoval crime right there, flyweight. Gabriel Fondora proves to 12-0 with a knockout of his own. Fondora's sister. She improves to 12-0 on a fifth round knockout of Areli Muchino. Close to 32-4-2. So a lot of experience there. That was for IBF World Flyweight title too. Gabriella. Sebastian, I believe, is the brother, right? Anyway. Yeah. Good card there. So that was the best of last weekend for boxing. No UFC or Bellator or anything like that. Your weekend off. But last weekend, we had sort of a train wreck of sorts. the UFC, it's a preview. You know, it's going to show you what it's going to be like with the UFC running their own ship with the drug testing. When they go overseas, it's been a notorious thing. The UFC runs its own show. Everything's, they got to do themselves. They got to do their own testing. They got to have their own referees. They got to have their own doctors. And this fight card, Tony, I don't know if you heard anything about it, but it's the first time I've ever seen a groin kick result in a fighter not being able to continue. And I don't know, maybe there's a language barrier. I was listening to it. I was watching the fight. And there was a lot of people saying the doctor accused him of not getting kicked in the nuts. And there was, but I did not hear him pose a question, but I did hear the guy respond, it was all dick and balls on live TV. It's like, whoa, that's not a good look for ESPN being connected to Disney. It reminds me of that, the Culinary Union campaign with the, you know, unfit for children was what UFC stood for. But anyway, yeah, accidental groin kick. Victor Henry versus Javed Basharat. Screwed up some of my bets there, but no more than Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker. It's an illegal knee. Okay, this is a big problem I have with this fight. It's an illegal knee that ended the fight. Why doesn't the guy that threw the illegal knee disqualify, whether it's accidental or not? That's bullshit. You threw an illegal knee, you get disqualified. No contest.
Well, I guess they give the referee discretion to say if it was intentional or accidental. I don't know. But how do you know that?
Ridiculous. I had a parlay of
Johnny was very angry after that too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even see it because I was trying to get the feedback over. I had seen the couple fights before that. And then that one I had a parlay going for Khamzat Chimaev, TKO. I mean, not TKO. To go the distance with Kamaru Usman. Just to go the distance. That, right? I had Islam Makhachev to win by KO or decision. Or submission, I think. KO or submission. He got that done in the first round. Which I also, that was my biggest actual win. Big win. Although the parlay I won on. But it was Johnny Walker, TKO or DQ win. First round. Or I think it was just TKO or DQ. Didn't have a round qualifier. So I ended up having that bet voided because of the no contest. That one part of the bet. And it was like a $5 bet. Would have paid off like over 100 with that because the odds were so high for Walker being Magomed. You know, ankle layup's a pretty tough dude. So anyway, that if that would have been a DQ, I would have won way more money. But I ended up only winning $20 on that. And then thankfully I had Islam Makhachev. First round knockout, that was a $65 winner. $5 bet. But, yeah, the first round finishes were hard to predict. Saeed Nurmagomedov made quick work of Muin Gafarov. He got a guillotine choke in the first round before the Johnny Walker fight. Usman actually was close to getting taken out a few times, but Chimaev apparently broke his hand in the first round. We found out after the fight. But Usman by decision was actually pretty high odds. I mean, Usman to go the distance.
Rich, did you watch the replay of that fight?
No.
Okay, because, Chimaev took him down early. Probably the first 20 seconds, and I'm saying, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
But Usman's defense was flawed. I mean, he fought everything off, and yet the round was scored 10-8. Now, I come from a boxing background.
Yeah.
And the word in boxing is damage. Damage.
Well, that's where the Abu Dhabi connection comes in, because Khamzat knew if it went to decision, they have his back, you know. He's in Muslim country. And he may be one of those guys that lives in Sweden, but he's Arab through and through.
the whole thing blew up on the underground about this, because I think guys coming from a wrestling background would justify, not all of them, but would justify a 10-8 round on the control.
Yeah.
Well, the hell with the control. Let's do some damage. Damage.
Usman boxing, coming in on short notice, I think.
You need a knockdown. I mean, it's very rare to see a 10-8 round without a knockdown. But the knockdown's pretty impressive.
I think this entire fight card makes me think, especially the main event and the co-main event, makes me think that the merger with the WWE is on. And this was a work. Volkanovski especially. I mean, he was company man. In the post-fight interview, he was just like, no, yeah, I tried, whatever. Let's move on. No big deal. He expected to lose that fight. And then Kamaru Usman, there was an injury rumor.
I think with Usman, he really came back. And you could make a case for him backing out the second and third rounds.
Definitely. Definitely. He put on a surprise performance, if only because Chimaev broke his hand. But, you knew that if that was going to decision, that Chimaev was going to get that decision, being where he was, where the fight was. And the UFC needs that money. You know, they may not think they need it, or they may not act like they need it, but they need any extra money they can get from any extra source. They don't care what dirty hands gives it to them. So, you know, the Abu Dhabi, they've already built like a kind of a structure out there. Middle of the desert, which is what Johnny Walker said when they asked him where he was.
Yeah,
how about this, Johnny?
In the desert.
He's in the middle of the desert. Guess where the arena is? In the middle of the desert. And apparently he was being flip. He wasn't really being dazed. He was being flip with the doctor and the doctor called off the fight. So there's the issue of whether it should have been a no contest or a disqualification. And then there's the issue of whether Johnny Walker could have continued, which he probably should have been able to.
Yeah, I think he would have been. Yeah, it was just a strange happening. But I'll tell you what, Chimaev, some of the shines come off this aura of invincibility. No one can stand up to him.
Yeah.
Usman did a great job coming back. Very great job. So I think Sean Strickland, they will be studying that first round very close to see Kozmat's attack and how Usman fought it.
Yeah, he basically showed that he's a better boxer if he can maintain his distance. You know, he just Kamzat wanted on grappling instead of what his, you know, his dual power is usually the grappling combined with the striking. But, you know, he obviously lost one hand, which affects your grappling and your boxing. So, you know, how much that really affected the next two rounds, I don't know, but Usman just seemed to pull from a separate source. Like, at some point, he just was just getting energy from some other realm. I don't know. Coming on so late and knowing the odds are against you on a decision, you know, I think he was really trying to get the finish and he just couldn't do it. But great effort. I was sweating that bet of that going the distance, and then it did go the distance. But, yeah, that's Johnny Walker one. Screwed it all up. Ikram Alaskarov, before that, was a heavy favorite. Of course, he demolished Morley Alves with a flying knee and punches in the first round. That was an ugly one. Arm triangle choke submission for Muhammad Mokaev against Tim Elliott. That was late in the fight, third round. Then we had great fight. Trevor Peak and Muhammad Yahya. You know, if you had the foresight to bet Trevor Peak, the knockout artist, with a bunch of first-round knockouts at lightweight, to win by decision here over Muhammad Yahya, I think it was like plus 700, so you would have won eight times your money. I was not that guy. And then we had the accidental groin kick from hell. Javid Basharat and Victor Henry. Victor Henry got kicked so hard in this. And the Sure Dog picture is perfectly appropriate now that he's going to be known for this groin kick. Because he's like gritting his teeth. Oh, yeah, it was a bad one. Bad one. And the doctor did not help him much. You know, they gave him time. And then he was ready to start the fight, and he wasn't ready. So fight's called off. No contest. Before that, we had Cedricus Dumas going to unanimous decision over Abu Azaitar. And the fight of the night for me was Mike Breeden in the third round against Anshul Jubilee. There's certain points in certain fights where a fighter completely has the will sucked out of him to continue. And Anshul Jubilee hit that point in the third round, and about 3 minutes in, Mike Breeden just came back like bat out of hell. And I think he lost three of his last four fights, Breeden. So you knew if he lost this one, he was done. He was getting his ass beat the first couple rounds, and he pulled Rocky and just blew Jubilee right out of the water. It was like the kid was in shock when he was getting hit with these late third round punches. They just could not do anything to stop it. And Breeden just waded in and did his business and then came over to the commentating table and said, "Don't sleep on me." bleeding down the front of his face. And he said, "I got this cut in training a week ago," you know, which was another thing that he shouldn't have been able to fight typically if you had a cut like that just a week ago. But, you know, you'll be running their own show. They allowed him to fight against a regional guy, too. So that was the upset of the card for sure. Did not see that one coming. Featherweight, we had Muhammad John Naimov beating Nathaniel Wood by unanimous decision. That was unexpected as well. Not as unexpected as Breeden. And then one of the coolest female fighter names, Victoria Dudikova, beating Jin Yu Frey by unanimous decision. I thought she would finish her, but nope, did not. And then Magomedov, go figure, winning a fight. Shara Bhutan in the first fight of the night. I was also one, did not expect to go to decision. Did, though. He beat Bruno Silva in the first fight of the night, middleweight. And, yeah, it was kind of an interesting card. Nothing like you'd expect. It's not a fight that fit a lot of patterns, but the first round knockout from Makhachev, I should have focused more. I think that was the best bet of the fight. But you didn't put enough money on it, as usual. Anyway, so that was that. We got the Fury fight. What else we got going on in the boxing world, MMA world? Let's see. We got any Google alerts. Here we go. Whoa. Videos from being indexed. Unsupported. Oh, got some old shit on Fight News Unlimited. Tell me. Update your videos. Oh, Bud Light to become official beer of the UFC. That's a headline I'm getting. Crazy. Bud Light. Because it's watered down. Ha ha ha. Bud Light. Yep. Blue. Big shit going on in Maine here, too, guys. I'm sure you've been seeing it on the news.
Yeah, the Maine Maniac. Jim Sylvia. That was Reverend Hillich's moniker, the Maniac.
Yeah.
Spelled M-A-I-N-E.
Yeah. But, yeah, they got...
Okay, boxing history. What is Lewiston known for?
Oh, the Ali fight, right? Ali Frazier. Frazier.
No.
No. Ali.
Come on, Tony. Tony, chime in.
Okay.
Joe Lewis.
What was Joe Lewis?
I don't know.
No. Lewiston, Maine. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, you said, did he say Lewis? I missed the main part of it.
Yeah.
And I heard, did he say Joe? No, Lewiston, Maine, and I'm going to call it in two different ways, as what Angelo Dundee called the, I'm doing the hand quotes, anchor punch. Yes, the anchor punch. What many pundits, including my father, and I will say me, called the phantom punch.
Oh, I was just thinking about this the other day. The phantom punch. We had one in the Celtics game the other night, but it was a phantom elbow.
You know, I was explaining this to my neighbor, and I said, there are so many unknowns about that, so many rumors that the political climate, that the black Muslims were going to assassinate Liston, and the mob was involved. I mean, on and on and on, and then the way it played out, really, a lot of talk, you know, to this day. Don't hear about it much anymore. It was so long ago, but that was that town's big claim to fame, because it was rematch was supposed to be in Boston, but then Ali had to have surgery, so they postponed it. And for some reason, Boston wasn't the site for the rematch. But it wound up in strange.
Lewiston, Maine, that's such an odd place for a fight. Really,
30,000 people in the town.
Rich being a New England guy, I mean, he knows. Maine is a big state, but it's the most densely populated state.
No.
I used to go up there every vacation pretty much for almost like something like 18 straight years. We would go up, and I mean, you figure I was in grade school when we first started going, and then I went up with my family up until I was in my 20s. And we would go up every year, and
we would get into Maine, we'd cross over the bridge, you know, we'd always stop in Portland, which is like the first real main city.
Yeah.
Stop in Portland.
Been there.
And then we would always head up to Bar Harbor. So you'd go up and then
Bar Harbor. You have to say it like that.
You get to the bridge and then you kind of shoot back down into the harbor. And then you'd be in Bar Harbor, which then was like a tourist town, you know. You go fishing or, you know, you'd go and you'd walk around the town and all that, go up to Cadillac Mountain and Arcadia National Park. But then it's like if you wanted to go, like, okay, great, we're going to go to the Bangor Mall. We're going to go to Bangor. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
You know, my dad used to go hunting up in Patton, Maine. You know, Patton. There was nothing in Patton. My dad's like, yeah, they had a street. Like, they thought they were, you know, wildly advanced up there.
Yeah. Unreal. Well, that's what makes this guy so elusive. I mean, he's got military training, he's got firearms training, and it's a scary situation because, you know, if he was doing special operations type shit that would you know, lead him to mental issues like things that he's obviously having, you know, who knows what kind of scheme he put in his head. Like, maybe he was trying to impress the people at the facility there that he was committed to for 2 weeks, to the point where he knew as soon as he got out, like, his only choice was to go do this mission that he had in his head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who knows what he's planning after this. You know, there's already a bunch of people dead. I think what he was doing today was just resting. Maybe way out in the woods somewhere. That's where these guys usually go, is out in the woods. Especially with a military background. And it seems like all these guys do have some military background. I think the only guy that didn't in recent history was the dude in Vegas that fucked up my birthday. October 1st, you know?
Well, that's right. That was the week of your birthday.
Jesus, you know? Country music, too. Country music. I love country music.
You know, I was almost going to be at that concert.
Ugh.
You didn't know that.
Definitely bad one to remember.
That year, I forget who was fighting the Cinco de Mayo fight the week or the 2 weeks prior. I might have been one of the Canelo Triple G fights, but it was one of those fights. And I wanted to go. So I looked at the tickets, and I went to buy the tickets for the fight, and it was going to be like a birthday gift from me to me. And they were sold out, except for like the $700, $800, $900 seats. I'm like, well, fuck that. So instead of saying, going, this was back in like July-ish or August. Like, tickets went on sale, tickets sell out. I'm like, fuck. And then I'm driving to work, and you guys know how scatterbrained I am. I'm driving to work, and I'm listening to the local Philadelphia country station, and they're talking about this big event going to happen out in Vegas at the end of September. And I'm like, huh. That sounds pretty cool. Like, man, that's something I wouldn't mind going to. And I'm driving. I'm about 20 minutes or so from work. By the time I got to work, I had totally forgotten about it. It went into my mind, and like a lot of those thoughts that move around me so fast, it went into my mind, and it was gone within a matter of a few seconds. And a few weeks later, you know, I'm thinking, and they're like, oh, my God, whatever. I'm like, that's the concert I wanted to go to.
Yeah. Scary.
I know a girl when I
almost hit a moose tonight. Talk about near-death experiences. Boy.
Yeah.
Going about 45. Keep a bunch of legs in front of me.
Canelo, Danny Jacobs fight, and I knew the one bartender at the Coyote Ugly. She's from Philly. I met another girl out there, and I'm talking to her and everything, and we were just talking a little bit. And then I had come to find out that she later became a police officer because she was at that concert and she was like hiding under a table and she was like calling her dad and she was just crying. And then years later, that was her motivation to become a police officer.
Oh, wow. That's quite the step up. Coyote Ugly Waitress to police officer. That's great. Unfortunate that I had to be motivated by that, but yeah. I think this guy's got that mentality that he's followed all these other shooters, and he wants to be the one that goes like multi-state, or you know, goes like five or six incidences and doesn't get caught for a while. It's scary.
Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of them now because now it's almost like, I'll tell you, I hate to say this,
especially with the younger generation, it's almost like playing video games.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know, we're playing a video game, right? We're playing Pac-Man.
Call of Duty commercial was just on TV.
You got the high score. I want to beat the high score. I want to beat Rich's high score.
Yeah.
And now you get these games like, you know, Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto and all that, and they're violent and they're brutal. And now it's like, I want to. So it started, you know, 27 years ago with the two kids out in Colorado, and then.
Right.
Kid at Virginia Tech.
That was some antidepressant shit as well, but that was good.
You know,
cool.
Now everybody's trying to beat the other one's high score.
Yep. Yeah, scary. Scary. It was not in our county. It was like two counties over, but, I mean, it's like an hour driving distance, so it's close enough. And then there was rumors that he had crossed over into Massachusetts already. Now they're supposedly got his house surrounded, but I don't think he's there. They found his car at a boat dock. So, like, there's some speculation that maybe he took a boat out down the river somewhere and is in the woods. I don't think that's unlikely, you know, but it's just, you know, it's a broad territory that he could be. So, it's probably the longest time I've ever heard of a guy being on the loose, except for that guy out in California where they found him and burned his house down, basically, where he was hiding. He was an ex-police officer, though. This guy's an ex-National Guardsman, so... But decorated guy, too. And a firearms instructor, apparently, so... It's all kinds of scary. Actually, there was, like, there was an episode of The Lincoln Lawyer where they accused the guy that actually didn't do it of shooting up a squad car or something like that. I don't know, it's a complicated episode, but it reminded me of that guy, that character, this dude, the pictures of him. I was just like, holy shit, he looks just like that dude from TV. It's kind of fucked up how that shit happens, but yeah. Unreal shit. Let's hope they catch him sooner than later. Other big news that dropped this week, UFC is losing a fight, heavyweight championship. John Jones, vicious injury here, needs surgery. He's going to be out 8 months. Tore a pectoral tendon off the bone. Off the bone.
When he was wrestling, supposedly, instead of, you know, that's normally in the competitive bodybuilding world,
yeah.
A bench press steroid issue. Gotta wonder, and with USADA leaving,
yeah.
I'm not saying that, but you gotta wonder.
Oh, I never heard of
it. Coincidence?
It just reminds me of preparing a chicken and you're tearing it off the bowl. To be alive would have that happen. It's gotta be painful. That has to hurt bad. I've torn muscle before, but I don't think they were off the bone. Teddy Atlas says, put your money on Ngannou. Can you believe him? I don't think Tony does. Well, he basically says, despite being out of his element, he can pull off the upset. Well, this is an exact quote, okay? They like to make stories seem like they're different when they're really him saying that. It's a possibility, but it's not going to happen. He says there should only be one winner, the boxer, because he's been boxing his whole life at a high level. So I'm here to say, yeah, it might be one-sided. It might turn out that way, just like the McGregor-Mayweather could have turned out that way, but I'm not so sure. And then he says he's a live dog. Put a $5 flyer on him.
Well, and then another thing, too, what's Ngannou's cardio going to be if we hear round five, round six?
Right.
Round six. It's different. It's different. It's never said that. It's a different kind of cardio.
Oh, geez. There's a video of Teddy Atlas helping him out. Teddy Atlas got a beer belly now. No, that's from 2020. I don't see a reason, but he's actually, I know that he's been on some commentary with MMA stuff lately, UFC. More than boxing, apparently. I know he's kind of butted heads with some of the boxing people. Doesn't get along with on the commentary team. But he's also famous for flipping out when decisions don't go the right way. Like, I don't think the bosses at ESPN appreciate that. I don't like a guy telling the truth on the air. Anyway. So we're gonna see a big one. I don't know if Ngannou has no chance, but I would think his chances of winning are primarily going to be in the first four rounds.
Yes.
That's where they're going to be the highest.
I agree.
Because he's going to have to hit him with a fucking haymaker from hell and, you know, make sure he does not get up from it. That's how he's going to win. He's not going to win a decision. It's just not happening. No matter what his cardio is, like, his footwork is not up to par. And, you know, what I think Fury does better than anybody is he uses his height. He uses it to his advantage. And he does that thing that Jack Dempsey used to do. We lean so far back, like he almost bends backwards and avoids a lot of the big head punches. And I'd say Ngannou's best chance is to beat up the body early on and then go to the head when Fury is down to block
it. It'd be interesting to see how Ngannou deals with that piston jab coming in his face, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, he's going to only be concerned about the two hands, but is he used to that environment? I mean, I know Mike Tyson and Dewey Cooper are great coaches, but how much can you learn in the gym compared to the real deal?
Right.
I rest my case there, because he's going to be hit at different angles from anything he's seen.
The only factor that I think people have not considered is what if Fury has kind of taken this too lightly? You know, they're talking a lot about how...
Well, I mean, that's always a possibility. I mean, you can't discount that. And there's always, you know, the puncher's chance, obviously. But I just can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
well,
he's depending
and
on his experience, so it's easy
for,
to do.
Camp for 12 weeks. And he looks to be in great shape, you know. For Fury, I mean, he's not. He doesn't have a bodybuilder's build. But he was saying when he felt Ngannou's muscle, he says he can't beat me. He's too big, strong, too in good a shape. He can't beat me.
Yeah.
You know. So I think he's taking it serious.
Okay. Well. You know, to me, on paper, it kind of sounds like Jake Paul picking on an MMA fighter to pad his record. You know, totally taking him out of his element. And it's just a big name fight. It's what they call a freak show fight in the old UFC days. Like, you know, Randy Couture versus...
But those things sell. Spectacles sell.
Randy Couture versus James Choney,
you know what?
Part two.
Well,
yeah. So it's gimmick all the way, but I think Ngannou could knock him out. He definitely could. Give it the first three rounds. If it doesn't happen, it's going decision, Tyson Fury. But it's hard to bet against the guy who came back from the punch that Wilder threw and got up at 9 and come back and almost knocked the other guy out. Like, unbelievable. One of the craziest moments I've ever seen in real boxing outside of movies.
So I'm trying to watch it. And there is that chance that, Fury's chin may have just taken one too many.
Yeah.
And I think deep down inside, he has to know that. He has to know that. He's a little bit older. Don't screw around with this guy. Don't screw around. And I that's what the Fury I expect to see, because the chin, as Sean O'Grady said, it's like you keep bringing up a cash register and eventually it pops open.
We'll see. We will see. Anyway, I think that's all we've got for this week. We don't have a lot of big stories or anything in MMA or boxing going on. No Floyd Mayweather comeback talk. We don't even have an exhibition fight to talk about with him. Till next week, and then we'll have a November 4th UFC card to talk about. And we'll chat about how this fight went. I really think that Fury's going to pull it off, but it's going to be more difficult than he anticipated. I think Ngannou's going to give him a little trouble the first three rounds, and he's just going to adjust, make the adjustments, keep at his range. And Ngannou's going to have to fight inside like Tyson used to fight, you know, peekaboo style, a lot of gut shots, and then following up with the double hook to the body in the head, you know.
Tyson's the right body, right uppercut, left
uppercut. Yeah, I can see that doing damage, but he's got to be inside, and he's got to really rough up Fury's body, because he's not going to reach his head the way he bends back like that. So I think his best chance is to make him bend over by just peppering the shit out of his body and possibly breaking a rib, you know, if he can penetrate.
Yeah, those first couple rounds are going to be wild. Because I just don't see Ngannou having cardio in the second half of the fight. If it gets there, which I can't see it getting there. But it could. But I think early on, I'm telling you, he's going to be on his A game. But I think he will be.
Ngannou wins by leg kick, round 11. No. Gets pissed off. No, disqualification. I wonder what the disqualification factor would be if he throws a elbow out of nowhere. But I'm sure that's like part of training. Wean him right off that shit. It's going to be awkward, I'm sure. That factor, too, is going to play a little bit into it.
You know what? And I think you're going to see Fury a lot in that fight. A lot of, like, using his natural ability to use that size. And when he gets inside, do that big clinch and lean all that mass.
Yep.
And basically take the guy's legs out. Because, you know, when this is not your forte, and then you have somebody of that size leaning that weight on you, and you're not conditioned to that, that's really going to take your legs out double fast.
Right. For sure. Well, we'll see how it unfolds. Throw a fiver on Ngannou just for shits and giggles. But not going to put it in a parlay or anything. I'm not that confident. But, yeah, I think Fury by decision is an easy bet, or Fury even by TKO. Because the other factor is Ngannou hasn't fought in a long time. Long time. You know, never mind it being his first boxing match. He hasn't had live action in over a year, I think, right? More than a year, because he had the knee surgery. So, you know, Fury has had the more recent action in the sport itself. And I think it's a no-brainer to go for him. But, you know, there is that miracle puncher's chance you can't discount. You're betting on chaos. That's what you do with sports. So we'll see. But we'll talk about it next week. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, guys. Let's enjoy the spectacle.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
Go Flyers.